Okay, so let's try to analyze this again. Let's take up the difference, the Rush and the Tosfos. You went through it well? I mean, I really, you really have to go through it well. And focus on the Lashon. What would you say? No, let's take the Tosfos. We started off with Tosfos last time, right? So what does Tosfos say? No, everyone has the same question. What's the difference between the Arva and Ochsen? So what's Tosfos' answer? Basically is what?
Ochsen.
Is what? Why is Ochsen different? Yeah, and therefore what?
And therefore they actually have it.
So Tosfos is saying, right, Tosfos seems to be saying that what? That why do we do Chalukah? Because we consider it that each one actually owns half. Dechoshev ki'ilu kol echad yesh lo bo bevadei achatzi. And that's based on the Anan Sahadi. D'may d'tofas ha'i d'dehu. So apparently here they're both tofsin, ochsin. So the chalukah, according to Tosfos, is directly based on the evidence that's before them. Right? The chalukah, it seems, according to Tosfos, is based on the evidence that's before them. It's it's the logical conclusion of the evidence that's before them. Just like if they would have a case where one pair of Edim would testify that the talis belongs to Reuven, they would give it to Reuven. So too here, he's saying it's like we have Edus, it's like we have Edus, we have a Raya, that it belongs to both of them. Right? And he goes through a little bit of a complication in the middle. But then he comes back and says, but by the boat, there's just tainas. By the boat, there's just tainas. Right? Ein muchzokim bohavi dina kol dolam govar. Because there's no rias at all. There's nothing for Beis Din to act upon. Beis Din needs to act upon the rias. And over there, there's just tainas. But here, there are rayos to the fact that both of them own it. So it's like we know they each own half. Yeah, so what's the chalukah yecholios MS have to do with anything? What was that? So you could say pashtus, you say, because edus to something that's impossible is not good edus.
Even your own edus.
Yeah, so there's something wrong. We have to reject it. Any edus that we accept, that we have to accept, we act upon.
So that means you're based on
but if it's impossible, then we can't accept it.
That means it's a premise saying that what Beis Din is doing is trying to figure out what actually happened.
That's right. That's the way Tosfos seems to be going. That the edus, he says, it's like we know the each own half. They're walking in as muchzakim. They're walking in as muchzakim. And as long as there's no knowledge to Beis Din that this, that what they see cannot be interpreted the way it appears, they're gonna act on the way it appears. Right? We'll have to go through Tosfos more thoroughly. But that's where Rogil comes in. Now, is they're going to take certain facts into consideration, make an assessment of what is possible, and then something that's possible that they have a proof for, they do. That's how I would sum it up. In other words, Beis Din looks at what's possible, right? And then they look at what evidence they have, and if there's evidence for something that's possible, they will do what the evidence says. That'd be my regel achas interpretation of Tosfos. Okay? Right, just to try to get But I'm just trying to get the proper approach of Tosfos. I mean, that seems to be his approach. That and then the Arva is different because there's no evidence at all, right? The only problem he has is the problem of the Mona, because it also seems to be equal evidence. But that, he says, simply cannot be. It's like Sajigon says, the guy can't bring a Shtar Mechira on the Atlantic Ocean. He can bring it, and if it weren't anything else, we would say it's 100% Raya that he owns the thing, but you just can't bring a Raya to something that can't be. It's Mizuyof Mitocho, you might say. But that doesn't mean that... But it has the form of Eidus on something that's possible, then it's actionable, right? But the point, it just seems from Tosfos, I welcome a different, a reasoned different opinion. But it seems from Tosfos that his emphasis is on the fact that we do the chalukah because we see that they each have half. Based on the principle of Demai Detofas Haidi Dehu, applied to two. Right? Okay. But the Rush, when you look at the Rush, doesn't give that impression that he's operating the same way as Tosfos. Because he just never says it. He keeps talking around and around and around. He never just comes out and says, you do chalukah for the very simple reason because we see that it's both, that it belongs to both of them. He's much more, first of all, like we said the other day, he calls it the din chalukah. And he keeps trying to justify why should you do chalukah and not call the olam gavah. And on the other side, he also tries to justify why by the arva you do kol dolan gavar and not chalukah. I mean, it's almost like you wouldn't say the Rush would not say that if two Adam came in and said it belongs to Reuven, he wouldn't say, and we don't do kol dolan gavar because then we would be letting Shimon steal it. You don't need to say why you don't do kol dolan gavar if you have Adis to what the thing is. Right? The fact that he has to keep saying that, and we have an obligation to be mocha, not that the guy shouldn't steal. I mean, it's clear that he's operating on a different track. And also, he gives a different explanation for the mona shlishi. He doesn't talk about whether the chalukah is yichol lios emes. He talks about knowledge beforehand, prior knowledge, right? I'm expecting everyone's up to date with this, right? In other words, when he talks about the Mona Shlishi, how does he knock out Mona Shlishi? He knocks it out because he says there's prior knowledge that we know it only belonged to one. He calls it the Din Chalukah, I said. Din Chalukah means like a din that's imposed by Beis Din. Not just a reaction to the Eidus, not a reaction that flows from Eidus. Because he seems to be putting the Din Chalukah on par in terms of the repertoire of Beis Din with Kol Olam Gavar, and trying to explain why is Beis Din use this tool over that tool? Why does Beis Din use this resolution over that resolution? But when you have Edom and proof, it's not like that type of resolution. It's just the din. That's just what the emes is. I mean, that's what they have to do. You could argue on that. You could argue on that. But right. But by the mona shlishi, he's different. I mean, Tosfos' focus on the mona shlishi is the chalukah yichol lios emes. And the Rush is focused on whether there's evidence beforehand that we know it belongs to one of them. Now, they're so close, you could really try to read one into the other a little bit. Of course, the Tosfos of the Rush does say that he's concerned with whether it's Ika Lameimer de Tervayui. Right? He is concerned with that. Whether it's... You could say that's the same thing as Tosfos, Yichol Lios Emes. Yeah. Okay, so let's read over the Rashi again. So like this. He says, Dekevan d'shneyem, after the halacha, Dekevan d'shneyem bo'im lefoneinu muchsokin b'kuf hatalis, anu tzrichin lifsok lehen din chalukah. Right away it sounds different than Tosfos, right? Like we have to. It's not that we really want to, but we have to. Okay? We have to. And now he's going to explain why. So now he's going to go on to explain why. Why do you have to do chalukah? Dikaven d'shneem bo'im lifoneinu muchzokim beguf hatalis. He's putting in an importance on the fact that they came in. They came in this way. They came to us holding the talis. Anu tzrichin lifsok lehu din chalukah. Did I just read? Right. Okay. He says, what?
I know.
I read the same thing twice. Okay. Shows you the power of emphasis. Only for that part. To call davar she'anu ro'in biyad adam. Now he's going to explain to us why you have to do chalukah. Right? Because everything that we see in the hands of a person, chashvinan le shehu shelo, afal pi she'acher ma'arer v'omer shelihu. He adds in an extra little part of that. Anything that we see in the person's hands, we say, we consider it to be his. Even though someone else is contesting it and saying that it belongs to him. He doesn't say Anan Sahadi. He doesn't say Anan Sahadi, though. He does not say Anan Sahadi. Yeah, you're right. He didn't say, the Rush saw the Tosfos. No. Anu Rome is not Anan Sahadi. Rome means the physical thing. Right. One second. So he's saying that anything that we see in the hands of a person, we consider it like his, even though someone else is bitterly contesting it. Like the case of Rav Abba, where the guy grabbed something out of Reuven, grabbed something out of Shimon's hands, right? And he comes to Beis Din and he says, "I grabbed it out of Shimon's hands, but it was mine." Beis Din says to Reuven, "You're a gazlan." Because you were moded that it was that Shimon was a muchsok, right? You don't apply the stronger guy wins over there, right? You don't say, well, you see that since Reuven was able to get it out of Shimon's hands, he must really own it, right? You don't say that because they have a muchsok. Once he's a muchsok, then we consider it like it's his, and so much so that we'll consider the other one as a gazlan. So what does that do with us, though? Still, what does that do with us? And then he switches tracks, right? And then he just says, Hilkach, now he switches tracks. Hilkach, e efsha lifso kan din kol olam govar. Now he switches to why we can't do something else. In other words, he's trying to, it is absolutely clear that, right, it's a force. Right, Mitnick? That he's saying, why do we have to do chalukah? Because we have this problem. We have this problem that anything we see in the hands of a person, we consider it to be theirs. They came in holding it together. And whatever we see a person holding, we consider it to be his. Even though there's somebody arguing against him. Right? That's why we... And then he moves to right away. You would expect him to say, and that's why we do chalukah, because now we have edus that it belongs to each one. But he doesn't. He says... And that's why we can't do kol olam gova. Right? And then the only thing that's left is chalukah. But why can't we do kol olam gova? Because, like by the boat, why? Dehasam shani, de'ein she'ein echad mehen muchsok bedover shema'arin olav. Neither one is a muchsak in what they're contesting and what they're fighting about. V'ein based in michuyavin limchos l'misha bo likach dover she'ein anu yodim shal mihu. This whole thing is disturbing. This whole thing is disturbing to me. Because there's implicit in this rush is that the cases really are almost exactly the same. It's an implicit for the fact that the rush has to work so hard to distinguish, because then he jumps back to why. Now he's trying to justify. He's like going back and forth, right? Like a ping pong match, right? Now now that he's in the case of the Kol Olam Gavar, he has to now justify why that's not Chalukah, why that's not Yachaloku, right? So he says, because over there, but the point, the impression that you get is that in terms of Beis Din's making a decision, they're equally situated. The Arva and the Talis case, Beis Din really knows nothing about either one. Beis Din in either case knows nothing about the true ownership of the thing. And now there are two, and now you have to explain why in two cases that are exactly the same, one has Kol Olam Gavar and one has Chalukah. See, Tosus got rid of the whole problem. Tosus got rid of the whole problem and said they're just not the same cases. They're intrinsically not the same cases. Arva is where we don't know, and Talis is where we do know. And that's the end of the story. There's no reason to elaborate, right, on why when you know, you don't throw it out, and why when you do know, and why when you don't know, you don't split it. That's all contained in the original chiluk. You don't need to go further. You don't say, and how come by the Arva you don't split it? That would not be a sensible question. Because the answer is already there. The answer is, we don't know. And you don't need to go back by Talis and say, how come we don't throw it out and let them fight it? Because we know. You understand? But it's implicit in the rush that we don't know. Either case, we have no idea who it really belongs to. In both cases, we have no idea who it really belongs to. Beis Din is not acting on a knowledge of who it belongs to. Beis Din is constrained to act one way in one case and another way in another case. And he's trying to explain those constraints. So he says, so why by the Arva don't they step in? So he says, because they don't have any obligation to stop somebody who's grabbing something from someone else when we don't know who it belongs to in the first place. And he goes through the whole explanation of Kol Olam Gavar. One second. And then he says what? Wait, doesn't he say that? Right. So that's the answer, right? There's no obligation to step in. Oh, and then he says, I'm sorry, right. And then he says, Hilkach, correct, I'm sorry. Hilkach, since they have no obligation to break it up, right, therefore it's not proper to give a din chaluka. That's also my din chaluka, it's the same thing. Right, there's no way to say this din chalukah would be an emesdika chalukah with chaim. Not yet. So, but it's the same thing. It's a din chalukah. Din chalukah just means din chalukah. Hold on. So why shema nafsid le'echad man shelo kedin? So in other words, he's saying over there by the arva, since you don't have, I mean, this is the clue. This is the big clue, I think. You see, one of the clues saying that by the Arva, you don't have a reason for Beis Din to have to jump in and give a din chaluka. And since you don't, they're better off not doing it. They're better off not doing it. Because if they do it, then it's possible that biyadayim they're going to make a hefsid. Better off to rely on the mechanism, better off to not be involved and rely on the mechanism of Kol Olam Gavar. Okay? But now he has to explain why they have to get involved here. Let's get to that part. He says, Oval hocha dishneim muchzokin begufa talis. Until now. Right? So he says, they're both holding the talis. Anu mechuyovin limchos shelo ligzol ha'echad eschavero. So he says we can't sit back and relax. Beis Din can't sit back and relax. Why? Because since they're both holding it, we're Beis Din to let them fight it out. And then what? Then what? One would definitely steal from the other. Who would steal from whom? Whoever wins. Right, whoever wins will be the Ganat, will be the Gazlan.
Even though it could be,
even though it could be his. Why? Because of the Naschah de Rabbi Abba. Right? Huh? That's the answer to your question. That's what Naschah de Rabbi Abba comes for. That since they're both muhzakin, right, they're both muhzakin, so whoever takes it out of the other guy's hands will be a gazlan. Right? So we can't...
That's why you have to divide it.
We can't let it go. He's not saying why you have to divide it yet exactly. We're not giving a svara yet, really. We're just really reading it carefully. Okay? Chalukah. Oh, right. Hilkach anu tzrichim lifsok len din chaluka. That's why we have to do chaluka. That's why we have to do the din chaluka, because that's the best din possible. That's the best din possible. The din of kol dolam govar is not appropriate. The din of chaluka is appropriate. Based on this two dinim, din of kol dolam govar, which he does call a din, right? And din chalukah. So he's saying the din of kol dolam gavar is not appropriate because that would be letting a gazlan vaday, that would be creating a vaday gazlan. And but over here, it's what? It's din. It has to be din chalukah.
Why do I have to say?
Okay, 1 second. So, and now he moves into whether we care about whether if one guy is a Ramai or not. Right? He says, V'lav dafka b'metzio b'mekachum memkar denokat zuzi mitirvayu dikala meyver tirvayui elaaf b'mekachum memkar denokat zuzi michad minayu. Right? In other words, that's two types of cases. Either by mekachum memkar, they could both pay the money, and the mocher accepted the money from both of them, and then they each really, like Rashi says, right? That Rashi on Beis Amelof says it's possible if the guy took money from both of them, maybe ikala meimar shneim kanua ulishneim nisratzah mocher. It's possible that the mocher decided to buy it to sell it to both of them. All right, he'll have to give each back half the money, right? But he accepted it together. Or Mitzia, obviously, where it's possible. But if the mocher only took one of their money, and he can't remember whose money he took, right? Or one says, I wove it, and the other one says, I wove it. Vada ikra mos b'taino seyam. There's definitely a trick. Someone's definitely lying in the taina. Afilo achyam yin yachloku. Yeah, so what is he saying now? Yeah, but what are we going on? It says, "Kidemuchach lekaman shnayim adukim b'shtar." Da'afagav dika ramai achloku.
Doesn't go by the taina; it goes by the facts in the case, in terms of whether or not it's possible that the court's division is
MS. Alma, I'm going to skip the part where he proves it from the Gemara, right? Alma lerebi lerabbanon kol hecha diika lemeimar detervayuhu afagav devaday ika ramai palgi b'shua. See, that's where he seems to be veering off course now. Now he seems to be veering off course. Now we have to say it's possible that it belongs to both of them. Right?
Then what's the point of the Shua?
Oh, b'chol midi... Well, the Shua is a separate... The Gemara takes the question. B'chol midi... Someone explain to me this next line. B'chol midi... Almost... So he says, "Ubechol midi the ikal neimar the tervayuhu kodem shenoda machlokoson." In any case, where it's possible to say that it belongs to both of them before their argument is known, he means what? He means before they come to Beis Din, right?
Yeah.
Bar mimon shlishi. Why does he do that now? Bar mimon shlishi. Yes. So then what? Decodem. It seems like a grammatically improper sentence, though. It doesn't seem logically proper. If Mona Shlishi is not the case, then you shouldn't say except for Mona Shlishi.
Yeah.
You should say, but Mona Shlishi is not the case. And we're saying, any case where it could be both of theirs, except for Mona Shlishi, where it can't be both of theirs, then it's not an except for.
Before they come, it's possible.
I mean, maybe I'm just being nitpicky, but it just doesn't flow. When you read it, like, it doesn't flow properly. Because over there we knew the machlokas beforehand. Over there before the machlokas, it was known to the nifkad that it was only one of theirs. And then he doesn't end the sentence, right? Sure, I'm sorry, I missed it. Right. So he says, right, Palgi v'shua. Right. So the Rabban held, you split everything with Shua. Oh, but then what? But then Ubuchol midi di ikalimema de tevayu. Then what? He means Ubuchol midi is going back on Kol Hecha. It's just this difficult sentence structure. But anyway, Klal of the Milsa, Kol Chilak Moma, Shashneim Chokum Alav, Im Shneim Muchzokum Bo Palgina b'Shua. Okay. He doesn't qualify it that way anymore. He doesn't say if it's known as long as it's not known beforehand. He doesn't say that. He just says it straight. Right? Klal de Milsa. He doesn't have that special rule anymore. That it has to be ikal amema de tevayu. Right? Not now, at least. He just says it straight. Klal de Milsa. Whenever it's whenever two people come, muchzokim in one thing, we split it. And if they're not muchzokim, then we say kol dolan gova. And if one of them is a muchzok, we don't take it out of his hands. Bar mimona shlishi, right? The pikadon, the afagav, the havi ki ilu shneim muchzokim bo, mishum da nifkad muchzok mikoch shneim vaasofeg nolad v'shuso v'yad nifkad ki adam, afilu hachi yemuna chachiyavu al yahu, ki yadua le nifkad kodem shenoda machlokoson she'ein shal shneim. In this klal of the milsa, he doesn't put it in the positive way. That it has to be ikal neima to tevayu kodem shenod machlokosin. It's just a strange way. It just doesn't flow so well. The rush in the end. You know what I'm saying, Chaim? Right. So what's the case of Mona Shlishi? Let's be very clear about the case of Mona Shlishi. So the Kahati gives a good quick explanation of it. In other words, really it means that they gave the 300 in one lump. They gave the 300 in one bundle. And therefore he's allowed to say he's not a poshe. In other words, if people deposited money with a nifgad and he just lost track of whose money it is, he would have to pay them both out. And he would be at the money. Right? But over here he has a right to say, since you gave it to me in one bundle, you weren't makbid on it. So you trusted each other, so I didn't have to be makbid on it. Right? But it's clear, I think it's important that it's in one bundle, isn't it? Because now he really, in terms of this whole entity, he really is the yad of both. Because Zvadai, each one has 100 in that entity. And he's holding the 100 for both, for each one. So he is like yad shneim, in terms of the bundle. Right? Okay. But Tosfos doesn't go this direction by the Mona Shlishi, right? Tosfos doesn't go this direction. Just intuitively, what would you say is the focus of the Rush's answer to the Mona Shlishi versus Tosfos' Mona Shlishi answer? In other words, the question is the same. The question is, we have a rule that we do by a muchzok. We have a rule that we use by shnei muchzokim, and we don't use it here. Why not? Right? That's basically the question. Without having a formed answer, just from the Lashon of the Rush and the verses of the Tosfos, do you have like a sense of which way, of how they're answering this question? Just out of curiosity. In other words, there's two ways to answer that question. There's two logical ways of answering that question, it would seem. Right? One you could say is, right, two possible ways. One way is to say you're right. It's exactly the same. The Shnayim Ochzim. But for some reason, the formula of Shnayim Ochzim resulting in Chalukah doesn't apply here. Why? Because it only applies when it's the Shnayim Ochsim in a case where the Chalukah is Yichol Lios Emes. That's the Tosa's way. Right? What's the Rush's way? What's the Rush's way? That they're not Ochsim in the same way. They're not really Shnayim Ochsim in the same way. Why? Like Jeremy's saying. Because Ochsim, he says, Ochsim is what? When do you fix? Ochsim is a fact that's in front of Basedin. Ochsim, Shnayim Ochsim Betalis, is a fact that's in front of Basedin. And that fact of Shnayim Ochsim Bifnei Basedin requires a din chalukah, which we're not explaining yet. Don't think you missed the svar, right? But mona shlishi, prior to their arrival, we know that it was only one of theirs. Now you can't say, even though in Basedin they're Shnayim Ochsim, but the importance of Shnayim Ochsim in front of Basedin is the fact of Shnayim Ochsim. Is no, as Basedin has to judge on their first information, the first piece of knowledge that they have. If the first piece of knowledge about this object is Shnayim Ochsim, that forces Basedin to do Chalukah, according to the Rush. By Mona Shlishi, the reason why the Gemara asks for Mona Shlishi is because physically the first information Basedin gets is Shnayim Ochsim. Physically, the Nifgad is Shnayim Ochsim. But in terms of the Basedin's Yediyah, they had a prior knowledge. Not maybe in time, but in logic, they have a prior knowledge. Of course, they say, well, who are you? How are you both of theirs, their Yad? Oh, because it was really one of theirs, and we just can't figure out whose it was. So that's not the same kind as of a Shnayim Ochsim. In other words, you see, when you focus like that, when you focus like this, you see that there's a different approach in Rashi, in Tosas, and the Rush. Tosas doesn't say it's not Shnayim Ochsim in the same way as the Talis. He says it's just the result will not be the same. The result will not be a Chalukah that's Yichol Lios Emes. The Rush focuses on whether it's known before the Machlokas that it was one of theirs. In other words, the importance to the Rush of knowing that it was one of theirs beforehand is what? Because that changes the way Basedin perceives the Shnayim Ochsim itself. You understand? According to the Rush, if Shnayim Ochsim is what Basedin knows, then they have to do Chalukah. Mona Shlishi, it's different. Mona Shlishi, they know, although the Nifgad is a Muchsok as both of them, he's Muchsok as both of them, right? And it's in his hands, but we know it's really only, we know that vis-a-vis this one Mona, he in truth is only one of their hands. And we just can't figure out who's the Muchsok. You understand? That's the way the Rush is answering Mona Shlishi, saying Shnayim Ochsim Betalis. That's a reality of in front of Basedin. The reality in front of Basedin is Shnayim Ochsim Betalis. That's the reality in front of Basedin. That doesn't tell us who it belongs to, but that's the reality in front of Basedin. That prevents Basedin from turning the case away, and there remains the Din Chalukah. But by Mona Shlishi, the reality is not Shnayim Ochsim. The reality is a question, Miha Muchsak. There's just no way to figure out who the Muchsak is. Shnayim Ochsim is not one of them is really the Muchsak and the other is not the Muchsak, and we just don't know who the Muchsak is. It's a simultaneous Shnayim Ochsim. Right? But by Mona Shlishi, it's not. Because even though the Yad of the Nifkad is empowered and created and authorized equally by Reuven and Shimon, and that Yad is holding one Mona, based in knows beforehand, from knowledge from before what they see, that in reality he's only either the hand of Reuven or Shimon vis-a-vis this one Mona. So he's not, in terms of Yedias Beistin, in terms of Re'ias Beistin, he's a Shnayim Ochsim. That's why the Gemara had the question. Compare the two cases. But in terms of Yedias Beistin, the issue is really Yedias Beistin. Beistin will go on their knowledge of Shnayim Ochsim. But over here, Kodem Shenoda Machlokosem, it was known already that it was only one of theirs. So therefore, it's not, Mona Shlishi is not Shnayim Ochsim. Whereas Tosis is not focusing on, Tosis is saying, granted it is Shnayim Ochsim, but a Chalukah Sheyecholios Emes is a limitation on the din of Shnayim Ochsim. We won't employ the din of Shnayim Ochsim when the Chalukah won't be Emes. All of the facts are the same, and everyone agrees on all of the facts. Both Tosus and Rashi, and the Rashi, agree on all the facts. I'm saying the way they're answering the question is revealing.
The same thing, like.
No, because it means like this: that according to the Rashi, he's undoing the basis of the din. The Rashi is a better answer.
Right.
He's saying Shnayim Ochsim is always Chalukah, right? But that's when Beis Din is faced with the absolute reality of two people Ochsim on one thing, and therefore it's an impossible situation of that Beis Din has to do that where Beis Din is forced to do Yachlokah. But why not Mona Shlishi? Because he's saying Mona Shlishi is not really Shnayim Ochsim. That's what I'm trying to say according to the Rush. Mona Shlishi is no. Tosus does not have that implication. Tosus says they are both Ochsim, because Shnayim Ochsim just means they're Ochsim.
Yeah, when you say there's only one rightful owner, that means originally there was.
But even Tosus doesn't say that it's not absolutely possible. What?
There might really be one owner,
but they're both Ochsim on it. According to Tosus, the fact that there's only one owner doesn't make it not Shnayim Ochsim.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But the Rush seems to be saying it's not really the Shnayim. That's why in his Klal de Milsa, he just sums it up and he says, but Mona Shlishi is not really this kind of a thing. Bar Mi Mona Shlishi, which is not really this case. Well, we have to really explain the Rush's logic a little bit better. See, what I'm trying to say is like this: that the Rush is focused on the impossibility of the situation, because Beis Din is faced with a fact of two people Ochsim in one thing. And with the implication that Ochsim implies ownership. Okay? So to me it seems like the Rush is saying like this. In other words, to me it seems like this. To describe it in the simplest way, I'd say the difference between the Rush and the Tosfos is like this. Tosfos sees two people holding it and imply and the implication that two people own it. Because the Muchzakim, now we have a raya that it belongs to both of them. Right? It's Shnayim Ochsim in a unified way. The Rush seems to be learning it like Shnayim Ochsim is really a combination of one guy being Ochez and the other one being a Ma'arer on what he's Ochez. With the Ma'arer himself being an Ochez, with the other muchzak being ma'arer on him. There's no one thing of Shnayim Ochsim. There's no unified idea of Shnayim Ochsim. It's two offsetting realities. Okay? It's two offsetting realities of a Muchzok and a Ma'arer, and a Muchzok and a Ma'arer. And when Beis Din is faced with that, he says, that's all they know. That's all they know. Right? Now, in that sense, it's the same as Arva. That is just faced with opposite things that there's no way to, that they can't justify. That's why he has to explain so much. How come by the Arva, where they don't know, they do Koldol and Gavra? But over here, they really don't know. Over here, they also really don't know. So why don't they do Koldol and Gavra here? He has to explain that. Tosis is a very big difference. Because by the Arva, we have no idea. And over here, we do know. Whereas the Rosh is very clear, to my mind, the Rosh is viewing both cases as just opposite things that we have no idea what we don't know. And then he has to keep explaining, oh, so how come when we don't know by the Arva, we say Kol Dolom Gavra? And when we don't know over here, we say Yachloku. He has to show you that really they're the same, but the idea of Kol Dolom Gavra is not possible, so we have to go to Yachloku. But not that we do Yachloku because we know. You hear what I'm saying? I think if you read it over, it's very, very clear that's what he's saying. And then he has to say Mana Shlishi is really different than this whole thing. It appears the same because one guy who is the Yad Shneim is holding one thing, but the essence of the Rush is that Beis Din is faced with the implication of Shnayim Ochsim. Right? Beis Din is faced, Shnayim says Kevan Shnayim Bo'im Lifoneinu Muchzokim. That means that's the very first and only thing that Beis Din knows is the opposite implications of Shnayim Ochsim. But by Mona Shlishi, they know something else. They know something before the guy came in. They know that at one point, he was really holding it only for one of them, and now it's a different kind of Muchzok. Now it's a different Shnayim Ochsim. It's not the reality of Shnayim Ochsim. It's just a confusion of who the true Ochez is. Shnayim Ochsim Betalis is a reality of Beis Din before Beis Din. That is a thing before Beis Din. Shnayim Ochsim. And that demands Yachloku. Mona Shlishi is not the reality of Shnayim Ochsim. It's the confusion of who's the Ochez. So that's what he says. Koldol, he says, by the Arva, we don't, in none of these cases we know anything. By the Arva, there's no Tofes. Right? By the Talis, there's two Ochsim. Right? But by the Mona Shlishi, it's not like any of these cases. There is, Beis Din sees Shnayim Ochsim, but they know it's not. There's no reality in front of Beis Din of Shnayim Ochsim. So they cannot do Yachloku. Yachloku is only the din when there's only a din of Chalukah when that is the sum total of the knowledge of Beis Din, Shnayim Ochsim. When what they see establishes all of their knowledge. But by Mona Shlishi, you have to get this clear in your mind that Mona Shlishi is completely different than Shnayim Ochsim Batalis.
According to the Rush.
According to the Rush. It's completely different. Not so far that the Gemara shouldn't have asked the question, though, right? But in terms of Yediyas Beis Din, it's different. Beis Din can't say by the Mona Shlishi, I see two people Ochzim. I see it beyond one person who is equally empowered by both, which led to a confusion of who he is now. Right? But that's not a Shnayim Ochsim. That's not a reality of Shnayim Ochsim. That's a suffix of Shnayim Ochsim. By the Talis, it's not a suffix of Shnayim Ochsim. It's not, we don't know who's the real Muchzok. There's no such thing as a real Muchzok. They're both the real Muchzokim. That creates a problem. But by the Mana Shlishi, it's not that way. They're not both really Muchzakim. We just don't know who the Muchzak is. So that's a totally different case. That's what he means, by the way, when he says, the Ikala Memer de Tirvayuhu. According to the Rush, the importance of saying that it could belong to both of them, this is going to be the hardest part to get to sell. But according to the Rush, when he mentions that, when he talks about Ikala Memer de Tirvayu, that it belongs to both of them, he does not mean to make the Chalukah fair. He means what? To establish Naim Ochim. Exactly. Ikala Memer de Tervayuhu is only important to create Shnayim Ochim. Whereas according to Tosfos, the whole focus is, will the Chalukah, they can't do a Chalukah that they know is not going to be Emes. It's a totally different focus. That he's saying that the where does he have the part? He says Alma la Rabbanon Kol Echa Deikla Meimer to Tevayuhu. No, he's trying to like this saying. He's saying we don't care about whether there's a Vade Ramai or not. Why is he bringing that up? Because they're not judging based on Taina anymore. See, that's the way the Rush is going. He's saying Taina is out of the picture. We're not judging. Basin is not making a decision based on Tainas. Basin is making the decision based on what they see. Okay, so even though the two Tainas, one of them is Vade Ramai, there's no bearing on this anymore. Okay, that is no bearing on this anymore. We're above din based on Taina. Now we're just the Tainas we have to ignore, and we just go with what Basin sees. But he's saying that's what he's saying. But it has to be that we know. It has to be that we know that they could. That it's something that is subject to a Shnayim Ochsim. If there's an object that we know from beforehand, in reality is only Muchzak to one, then that can't create the phenomenon of Shnayim Ochsim Bifnei Beistin. Now, of course, the only possible way that could be is Mana Shlishi, where it's not in actually their hands. Because anything else, there's no reason why they can't own anything together. Right? That's why when he comes back to the Klal of the Milsa, he doesn't put that thing in. He just says, the Klal of the Milsa is anything that they're holding, anything that Ochsim in, we say is theirs, except for the case of Mana Shlishi, where we consider it like a Shnayim Ochsim, but it's not. But we know that it's only one of theirs. That's why I think he says the Barmi Mana Shlishi. Because Barmi Mana Shlishi means physically the Mana Shlishi is no different than any other object. A mana can be owned by two people, right? But because of the way the case comes out, that's excluded. That's why he does bar mi mana shlishi. Because we said, why should he say bar mi mana shlishi? If it's not in the category, you shouldn't say except for this case, right? But he means say, in the category of things that can be owned by two people, it is included. But for this reason, we have to take it out. Now, what Rush is saying is that the whole process of Shnayim Ochsim and Yachloku is because the Re'iyas Shnayim Ochsim creates an implication that would prevent us from saying Kol Dolam Govar. Right? But he's saying, but that's only true if it's something that is capable of that implication. So that's only something that we can say two people can be Muchzakin simultaneously. So then we have... Then Basin has in front of them one object with two people muchzakim, right? But if we know for sure only one of them is really the muchzak and the other one is like a fake muchzak, we just don't know who's the real muchzak. That wouldn't be the same thing. Now Mana Shlishi is the only kind of case, the simple case that comes up in. But then apparently there's no din Basin. Now the way he's learning Munach, he never explains Munach. Right? He doesn't explain the logic of Yehei Munach. But apparently he's learning Yehei Munach is when there's really no din. Right? Now, that's the case of where you have a muchzak, so you can't say Kol Dolam Govar, because that would be letting one guy steal from the other. Right? But... But we also can't do a chalukah, because chalukah is only good when they're both muhzakim. But they're not both muhzakim. So you just have to leave it. Hold on, go. I mean, yeymunach. What? No, there is a muhzakin. That's the thing. Something that we know there's a muhzak in, we have to stop someone from taking it. I don't know. We'll have to think about the Yemunach. Forget about the Yemunach for now. If it's confusing things, forget about it. But let's think about now. I think this is really the underpinnings. But I'm not totally satisfied let's see if we can explain a little bit better. And then take a look at the Tosfos again. And then take a look at that Rashi, right? You saw that Rashi? You can take a look at the Riva and Bava Basra, because it seems similar with the other way of learning, that the whole difference is not Ochzim. Both the Tosfos and the Rosh saying the difference is Ochzim. But the Riva and Rashi seems to be saying that it has to do with the Tainas, because Rashi says, if they both said, I wove it, it would be Yehemunach.